namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Mriyamano harer nama grinan putro paparchitam patari ajamilo api agad dharma kim uta shradhaya grinan Mriya Manohare. Oh no, that's too long. Mriya Manohare Nama. Grinan Putro Paparitam. Ajamilopi. Ajamilo pyagadhama kim uta shradhaya grinan mriyamano harir nama grinan putro pacharitam ajamilo pyagadhama Kimuta Shraddhaya Grinan. Mriyamana.
Mriyamana.
At the time of death.
At the time of death.
Harer Nama.
Harer Nama.
The holy name of Hari.
The holy name of Hari.
Grinan.
Grinan.
Chanting.
Chanting.
Putra Upacharitam.
Putra Upacharitam.
Indicating his son.
Indicating his son.
Ajamila.
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 Api,
Api,
even, Agat,
went,
Dhamma,
Dhamma,
to the spiritual world,
to the spiritual world.
Kim,
Uta,
what to speak of,
what to speak of.
Shraddhaya,
Shraddhaya,
with faith and love,
with faith and love.
Grinan,
Grinan,
chanting.
Chanting.
Translation. Because this very confidential historical narration has the potency to vanquish all sinful reactions. One who hears or describes it with faith and devotion is no longer doomed to hellish life, regardless of his having a material body and regardless of how sinful he may have been. Indeed, the Yamadutas who carry out the orders of Yamaraj do not approach him even to see him. After giving up his body, he returns home, back to Godhead, where he is very respectfully received and worshipped. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord. And although the chanting was directed towards his son, he nevertheless returned home, back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? Purport. At the time of death, one is certainly bewildered because his bodily functions are in disorder. At that time, even one who throughout his life has practiced chanting the holy name of the Lord may not be able to chant Hare Krishna mantra very distinctly. Nevertheless, such a person receives all the benefits of chanting the holy name. While the body is fit, therefore, why should we not chant the holy name of the Lord loudly and distinctly? If one does so, it is quite possible that even at the time of death, he will be properly able to chant the holy name of the Lord with love and faith. In conclusion, one who chants the holy name of the Lord constantly is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead without a doubt. Supplementary note to this chapter. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, to text 9 and 10 of this chapter, form a dialogue concerning how one can become free from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Someone may say, it may be accepted that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one becomes freed from all the reactions of sinful life. However, if one commits sinful acts in full consciousness, not only once but many, many times, he is unable to free himself from the reactions of such sins, even after atoning for them for 12 years or more. How is it possible then that simply by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, one immediately becomes freed from the reactions of such sins? Right? Because this is now going to be the position that comes up. We hear these glories, but the reason that one of the offenses to the holy name is to not accept the glories or think that their imagination or exaggeration is this fact. Because when we discuss one name, as we've discussed before, is that it's always, yes, if it's pure, if it's this, if it's that, so many qualifications that I have to be a great devotee, and then the name has potency. But here it's making the point, none of that matters. The name is the name, name's God, and he can do as he pleases. And he says, if you do it, this is what happens. Despite our feelings of the need for retribution, right? Because where does retribution come from? Retribution comes from hatred. And according to Maitreya Muni, retribution then, or hatred, comes because there is attachment. And what is that attachment for? Sense gratification. And how do we have that attachment? Because we have false ego. And how do we have that false ego? Because of illusion. So these five principles Brahma created in the very beginning of creation, before creating anybody. And that's what the material world works on. So the more we are worried about retribution, then it's very simple. Then we know that the greater our attachment and desire for sense gratification, the greater our ego and the greater our illusion. And the fun part is it doesn't even matter whether we believe it or not. That's just fact. We're not giving here like opinion, well maybe this, maybe, we're just saying this is the hard fact. Right? You take a glass, you drop it on a hard floor, it breaks. No, but what if, you know, the person was very sincere and he didn't want it to break and he didn't really mean for it to break? Wouldn't it not break? So we're just talking hard facts. So therefore Vishwanath brings this up. Why? Because this is the root disease. We're going to say that he's done a sinful act and he's done it in full consciousness and he's done it many times. Right? Because that's the first thing we go, oh, that then it doesn't count. If the sin is planned, it doesn't count. Like if you said, whoa, Let me go eat this. Oh, it's planned. Plan means you think, I'm going to do all this. I'm going to be sinful. Then I'm going to chant the holy name and get freed from it. That's planning. This other stuff where one plans to do something wrong, that's not planning. That's just the modes of nature. We have to understand is that our need and sense of justice and retribution so that we feel that our social environment will be favorable for my enjoyment is not the standard by which human life is practiced. It may be popular. It may be out of the 7 billion people on the planet, they all think like this. But as Prabhupada says, you know, it doesn't make any difference. All it means is you have 7 billion fools. Not that, oh, well, 7 billion people, so that must have some meaning. You know how many ants there are? The ants would love to eat your kitchen, and if you sat so long enough, they'd eat you. And that's billions of ants. So, okay, well, then that's the way it's going to go. Is it? No. So that's the whole point is, mass does not matter. It's quality that matters. One person in knowledge is more valuable than 7 billion that are in ignorance. No matter how much position, money, fame, facility they have, it doesn't matter because it's borrowed. It's not theirs. Right? Does that make sense? The guy shows up. He's got the suit. He's got the car. He's got the girl. It's all happening. You think, wow, this guy is successful. He hired them all. And the next day, you'll see him go back to his little suburban place, and that's it. In a sense, so will we call him? Yes, he's successful. No. Why not? It's not his. So anybody in this world who has facility, it's not theirs. Why not? It's all because it all belongs to the universal form. They're only borrowing it. Their nature is there, but whose nature is it? It's not theirs. Their nature is I want to control and enjoy, but the specifics of it, the facility, that's from the universal form. It's not theirs at all. Oh, but the karmis are so nice. No, they're not. It's all borrowed qualities. A devotee is nice, that's real. Why? Because that's the soul. The other ones, it's not the soul. The soul wants to be eternal, wants to be happy, wants to have knowledge. That's the symptoms of the soul. But the qualities they have, if they're not devotees, those aren't theirs at all. They're all borrowed. So that's why Vishwanath brings this up as the first point, because this is the doubt. It's not, well, Ajami, well, it's offenseless means that he didn't chant the holy name with the idea, I'll be purified of all my sins that I've been doing all my life. He just chanted because he was in anxiety and wanted to call his son. Right? If we catch this, then we'll understand what we're dealing with here. It's not about opinions. It's not about that. It's about the soul contacting the Lord. If that happens, the benefits are then beyond material description. Right there. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur replies by quoting verses 9 and 10 of this chapter. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief of gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmana, or for one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. Right, so these are the five top sins. You don't get worse than this. And so in here, betraying a friend or relative, or in that, killing a brahmana means also, how you say, speaking ill about them. You know, we love to just say, oh, well, this, oh, that. That's on the level of killing a brahmin. In our culture, it's not, because what? Who's a brahmin in our culture? You know what I'm saying? The pinnacle is a celebrity who happens to be an artist. That's who we consider the pinnacle. Most people, how many people are on their own would be reading, you know, the, how you say, economic, you know, digest or these kind of magazines. Then they'll work about who's the biggest, fattest, you know, wealthiest guy. There's a good chance we haven't even hardly heard of these guys' names. Right? Or the guys the most powerful. Okay, we've heard of the American president. You know, we've heard of the English president. Like that. Who's heard of some of the other ones? There's 150 countries. We don't know. Does that make sense? So we have to understand when the pinnacle of your society is an artist, and not even that, not even a very good one, right? Does that make sense? Then we can't say that these things are, you know, because everybody does it, that it's okay. So. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders women, the king or his father, for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, Vishnu, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. One may atone, because one may say, well, this is not fair. What about all the sin? But we have to remember the sin is illusion. The soul is not the body, so therefore what's done by the body actually doesn't connect with the soul. Only because the soul identifies with it, that's why we connect it. Because I say, I'm the doer, therefore, okay, you did this, so therefore here's the reaction. But in reality, they didn't do that. Right? So only on the spiritual platform, then you cannot look at it that way. Because within materials realm, people would be uncomfortable if I didn't do my work and I got my result. I did this, it's mine. We have to be able to feel like that to be comfortable here. But once we get beyond that, then the reality is, no, it doesn't matter what you've done, it's all Krishna's. Because the point is you're doing it to please Krishna. So there's no need of the sense of ownership. One may atone for sinful life and vanquish all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name, although this is not called atonement. Ordinary piety cleanses the heart. Ordinary atonement may temporarily protect a sinful person, but it does not completely cleanse the heart of the deep-rooted desire to commit sinful activities. Therefore, atonement is not as powerful as the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. In the Shastras, it is said that if a person only once chants the holy name and completely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord immediately considers him his ward and is always inclined to give him protection. This is confirmed by Sridhar Swami. Thus, when Ajamiya was in great danger of being carried off by the order carriers of Yamaraj, the Lord immediately sent his personal order carriers to protect him. And because Ajamiya was freed from all sinful reactions, the Vishnu Duta spoke on his behalf. So, if we accept the principles that the name has this power, then we can take it to the next step of that aspect of surrender. Because otherwise it goes, aha, here's the loophole. Unless you surrender, so who's surrendered? So they're all rat bags. But the point is that you have to accept that they're protected. They're freed from sin, right? That's what I'm saying. Just by doing that, by chanting, you're freed from sin, but it's not real atonement. Why not? You're freed from sin is not real atonement. Real atonement is surrender to the Lord. So anyone chants, they're freed from all sin. But now, if you actually want to be completely freed from all sin, you have to surrender to the Lord, because that will get rid of the desire that causes the sin. Because by chanting, you get freed, but you haven't removed the desire seed, so you'll commit again. But if you surrender to the Lord, now that makes the permanency. That gets rid of it and gives you the shelter of the Lord. The other one, then, you're the most pious person in the universe. But again, you'll fall back in. Right? Ajamil had named his son Narayana, and because he loved the boy very much, he would call him again and again. Although he was calling for his son, the name itself was powerful, because the name Narayana is not different from the Supreme Lord Narayana. When Ajamil named his son Narayana, all the reactions of his sinful life were neutralized, and thus he continued calling his son and thus chanting the holy name of Narayana thousands of times. He was actually unconsciously advancing in Krishna consciousness. Right? So it's not that just this last one was the one that was getting benefit. All the ones that he was chanting before were getting benefit. So every day he's calling, because when you talk to little kids, you always mention their name, because they're always mentioning your name. Right? So constantly he's chanting, and because of this constant chanting, he's advancing in Krishna consciousness. Though he's not fully understanding the meaning or anything. That's the whole point. Krishna consciousness is so powerful, it works despite us. That's why in this age, it's not dependent on all these other activities that require qualification. To meditate, you have to have a very clear, focused mind. Right? And then to perform yajnas, you have to be able to technically understand everything and be able to be very clean, hold all that together. Right? It means it's very ritualistic. So it requires great piety. Right? Then in Dwapara you have the deity worship, so then all that aspect of doing service for someone else and being involved in their life with great cleanliness and great care for all the rituals. So then that also requires great sacrifice and high qualities. But in the Kali Yuga, if you simply just chant the name, despite any other ability, you're getting the benefit. Right? So one, it's the highest benefit because you don't have to deal with all these others. But it's the highest benefit because we're the most least inclined towards benefit. Right? We have to remember it's because the name is so great, it's not because we're so great. It's because we're so unqualified, that's why this is such a perfect process. And it's so perfect that anybody can take part in it. And any part that they take in it, everybody's getting benefit. You don't have to be expert. The modern thing is you have to be expert. But this is the one thing you don't have to be expert at, and you're actually moving forward. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's. One may argue, quote, since he was constantly chanting the name of Narayana, how is it possible for him to be associating with the prostitute and thinking of wine, right? Because that'll be the other thing. Okay, if we accept that he's getting spiritual benefit, but if he's getting, how could this other thing be going on at the same time? It's not possible, right? Because we forget the nature of tatastha, which means it can be in both realms, right? The internal potency is only going to deal with Krishna. The external potency is just going to be dead matter. It's not going to be conscious of anything. We can deal with both. So that's the whole thing, is that we're here in a body, that's both. The soul is endeavoring in its life because it thinks in terms of the basis of being soul. They want eternal life, they want to be happy, and they understand if I make endeavor with knowledge, I'll get my results. That's because they're soul. So everyone working in the material world very hard is because they're a soul, right? A brick, you never see that the brick is there and you come back and then the brick has a great big house and a nice car and everything like that. It's still just a brick. You know, you come back after, 10,000 years and some, Czechoslovakian guy comes out with his little paintbrush and digs it up and like that. It's still going to be the same brick, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, it's not going to change. So then that's the point, is tatastha shakti means that potency that holds the material and the spiritual together at the same time, right? So then this question doesn't have any meaning. It's because we're tatastha. That's why it's going on. Therefore, he's constantly chanting and he's associating the prostitute thinking, why bring out the term prostitute? He's been living with her for God only knows how long, the last 50, 60 years or something. Right? Because there's a difference in the nature of a wife or in a prostitute. Wife, you actually have to make the endeavor to make her happy. And then when the mood is right, then she may interact with you. You understand? But a prostitute will interact with you. She'll take the leading role because she's being paid. So therefore, when you say this, means there is no effort at all on his part to try to be cultured. Therefore, why do we keep bringing this up? Because otherwise, according to Shastra, if a girl is a prostitute and she marries someone, you don't call her a prostitute anymore. Now she's a legally married woman. So why is it always referred to this way? Because he never has to make the endeavor. She'll take the leading role in sense gratification. So he never actually has to make the effort to try to be conscious of the other person. He just has to provide the money enough that she's happy. You know what I'm saying? So for the man to make money, that's the easy part. To actually be sensitive to people and understand their needs and moods, and that's harder than making the money. You know? I say, climbing Mount Everest with your bare hands and no oxygen, and the other side, then you're talking something equal here. right? So they don't want to make the endeavor. So therefore, she's maintained in this way. And she's getting the money. She's cool. Does this make sense? So why these are pointed out? To just show how low it is. It's low not because she's a prostitute. It's the low because he's not making the endeavor. That's the point. By his sinful actions, he was bringing suffering upon himself again and again. And therefore, one may say that his ultimate calling, Narayana, was the cause of his being freed. However, his chanting would have then been a nam aparad. Nam no balad yasya hi papa bhutir. When it continues to chant sinfully and continues to act sinfully and tries to neutralize his sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord, is a nam aparadi, an offender to the holy name. In response, it may be said that Ajamil's chanting was inoffensive because he did not chant the name of Narayana with the purpose of counteracting his sins. He did not know that he was addicted to sinful activities, nor did he know that his chanting of the name of Narayana was neutralizing them. So that's the whole point. When someone's under the modes, they don't know they're addicted. So therefore, even though they're making plans, you can't call that plans. Does that make sense? That's just easy on our part. Give a dog a bad name, hang him. Why do we have this saying? It's popular. Does it make sense? It's so easy. Oh, he planned. It's like, what's his name? Bilba Mungo. He planned to go see the prostitute. Therefore, this doesn't apply. You do realize Bilba Mungo wouldn't be able to do any service in our society. Right? You understand? So that's not what it's talking about. Prabhupada's saying here he doesn't know. He's under the modes. Does that make sense? And if you talk to him and then he realizes, oh yes, that's why. Why is that? Because of the intelligence given by chanting. Then by association, by that, then one can come. You understand? We have to get very clear on these things. Otherwise, guaranteed from our background, we will fall into a medieval mentality. You understand? Give anybody the chance from the West, they turn medieval on you right away. That's default setting. Nice is for who I like. The greenies are nice too. Who else is a greenie? If you're not a greenie, they blow your place up. You understand? So this whole idea is, oh, we're so developed, and we're not. There's mleches and yavanas with this fine veneer on it. And that's the good ones. You know, you like going hanging out at the Louvre. Now we're talking fine here. Does that make sense? Otherwise, it's just a step away from gross. That's all. Does that make sense? So as long as we're not, our grossness does not gross out the kind of women we adjust with, or that we're comfortable with, then we call that cultured. You understand? That's all. The women set the limit on what is cultured and uncultured. You follow that, then you're okay. But it's not set by Shastra. So cultured is something else. Thus he did not commit a nam aparad in this repeated chanting of the holy name. While calling a son may be called pure chanting, right? It's defined here, because otherwise we'll say pure chanting is he's advanced in devotional service, he's a Madhyamadakari and this and that. Then only it'll work, because otherwise everybody else is a rat bag, so it's not working, so you can't do that. You understand? That's why this is being brought out. Why is this whole thing here? This is sixth canto. Now we've discussed nicely the karma, the gyan, the structure of the universe, how to connect everything to the Lord, right, in these previous cantos, so that we know, okay, how to get everything to the Lord. But now we have to address these next cantos. We have to address our character. We have to actually, the subtleties of devotional service. Otherwise, how will we appreciate 10th canto? Means we're reading Krishna book, but Prabhupada's already written nine cantos into that, into the 10th canto. Right? Therefore, we're getting benefit. But the whole point is unless we understand Krishna is the most important thing, it's not because I'm a good guy and I'm doing good work and everybody likes me that's why I'm advanced. That's how the neophyte thinks. We have to give that up at some point if we want to be able to appreciate what goes on as the Bhagavatam unfolds. It has to be. Krishna is wonderful because he's Krishna. That's the Vrajabhasis. Krishna is wonderful because he's who he is. Then you go into majesty, he's wonderful because he's God. You know, who doesn't like God, okay? He's big. He's bigger than you, more powerful than you. Right? He's got more than you. Right? You make him upset, you got trouble. You know? And there's nothing you can do to him. So, okay, now if someone says, okay, I surrender to this person, that's good. But it's not about the person. It's about their position. Right? And even when it does advance where it gets to about the person, it's still that one wants to follow the rules. You're comfortable to follow the rules to please the person. Rather than it's just the person is important, and that's all that's important, so therefore whatever you do is what is the definition of what is a rule. You understand? The Brajabhasis, what they do, that's then defined as rules that the other realms follow. Because it's just the spontaneous love that they have for Krishna. That's all. So if we want to be able to be a Brajabhasi, we have to accept it's just about the name. It's just about Krishna. It's not because I was a good guy or I did this or he did that. No, it's because the name is special. And this person is in contact with the name. That's why it's special. So we actually have to be able to define pure devotional service. That's free from karma and karma. Retribution means karma. No ifs, no ands, no buts. It's just what it is. Because we see with the great personalities, they don't worry about it at all. We worry about it. Why? Because we're interested in karma. That's all. Even the advanced jnanis couldn't give a damn about it. They really don't care. Because they know it's all illusion anyway. Does that make sense? So that's, yeah. So this is pure chanting. Right? It's not the purest of pure chant, but it's pure chanting. Just like pure chanting, then is this. Then you have more advanced pure chanting where there's taste. An attachment, more than that, there's ecstasy, more than that, there's prema. But it's all pure chanting. Right? There's variety within spiritual. So we just think, no, it's just this is pure, or this is not pure. That means we don't accept variety. Unless it's uttamadhikari, it's not pure. That means we're still contaminated by impersonalism, because we don't see variety. This is why we have second canto and third canto, is to be able to discern these points. So we can tell the difference. And now here it's bringing out this subtlety here. And if they just took a normal guy, then we say, yeah, this, that. But, you know, it wouldn't spark anything. We're taking the most sinful guy you can get. Right? And then applying it, then naturally you're going to say, no, but what about this? No, but what about that? And then all these things come out of the heart. Then we can deal with them. So that's what this is all. Now, he did not commit namaparad, but it may be called pure chanting, because it's not the highest level. Right? You know, it's just like the guy's getting down. The old lady is driving down the road to church. She's going 20 miles an hour, you know, she's stopping traffic, there's all kinds of accidents going on and everything. And so you can call her, she's driving, right? But in general terms, you wouldn't call it driving. But it's driving. She has a license and the police aren't taking it away. Okay? So like that is therefore, it's pure chanting. It's not the ideal. It's not the, oh, hey, then I can do this. You know, okay, yeah, okay, you can do this. You would be able to take care of a prostitute for the next 50, 60 years and not have her walk out on you? Okay, then this guy's good. Right? Because of his pure chanting, Ajamil unconsciously accumulated the results of bhakti. Indeed, even his first utterance of the holy name was sufficient to nullify all the sinful reactions of his life. Just one. And then he's been chanting thousands of names. So when we say one name, we mean one name. We don't mean qualified with all kinds of things of, that makes our sense of karma and jnana happy. We mean one name. To cite a logical example, a fig tree does not immediately yield fruits, but in time the fruits are available. Similarly, Ajamil's devotional service grew little by little, and therefore, although he committed very sinful acts, the reactions did not affect him, right? So that's the thing. Once one takes up devotional service, these don't affect. It's not useful. It means his sinful activity are not useful, but that's not the discussion here. The discussion is despite this, he's advancing. So therefore, those who are practicing devotional service, they're all special. Every one. Because even one name, even the guy on the street that when you go by, you know, with the Hari Nam, yeah, Hare Krishna, like that. He's special. He's freed of all sin. Right? He's committing sin now, but how much is there? You know, he saw the Hari Nam party last week. So 1 week of sin. But that one chanting got rid of unlimited lifetimes of sin. Go ahead, put it on the balance. How does it work? In the Shastra, it is said that if one chants the holy name of the Lord even once, the reactions of past, present, or future sinful life do not affect him. Right? So it's not, okay, that, but it doesn't affect. Because now they're on the devotional path. To give another example, if one extracts the poison fangs of a serpent, this saves the serpent's future victims from poisonous effects, even if the serpent bites repeatedly. Similarly, if a devotee chants the holy name even once inoffensively, this protects him eternally. He need only wait for the results of the chanting to mature in due course of time. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the sixth canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Ajamil, delivered by the Vishnu to this. So if that faith is there, then we can deal with the fine points within, okay, how to improve, how to actually try to please Krishna. Because it's like here, as he's doing, he's freed from sin, because we take that as the big deal. That's not the big deal. The big deal is developing love for Krishna. Now that he didn't start to appreciate until he saw how the Vishnudutas were discussing the philosophy. Then he saw, okay, now there's something more here. Then he took up the service of the Lord at the temple. Then when he came to the, then as he advanced, then at the time of death chanting the holy name, then he saw those same Vishnudutas again. Now he really understood who they were. That's the real thing. That's the primary. Being freed from sin is secondary. It's just like saying, okay, in a kitchen, which is the most important, the cooking or the washing the pots? Okay? Now, if it's the cooking, now someone can be a great cook, but really make a mess out of the kitchen, and it's annoying. But the cooking's there. Now, would it be better that the kitchen is squeaky clean, no one can cook because it'll make it dirty? Right? Does that make sense? Like that. We wouldn't want people because they make trouble. Right? So getting rid of trouble is not the point. That people are engaged in advancing devotional service, that's the real point. But as a side thing, you're going to advance nicely as you are aware of your position. That's why there's yama and niyama. Yama, what you should not be doing. Niyama, what you should do. Right? So what you should do makes you remember Krishna. What you shouldn't do is what makes you forget Krishna. But of the two, remembering Krishna is the primary, not forgetting Krishna is the secondary. So when the secondary becomes primary, then all our problems begin. So unless we can tell this, then this story doesn't have any meaning to us. Right? This has great significance. This. It changes how we view the world. And so with that change, then we'll be able to appreciate these further, more developed things that are coming up. Like it's, with Prahlad Maharaj, then you're dealing with the practice of pure devotional service, not mixed with karma jnana, as we see in the previous chapters. Right? So then that means this has to be there to appreciate that pure devotional service. Fortunately, there's no time for questions. Okay, so we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi.